This is the AC Report.
Well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night, and they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble on the promenade, and the gambling commissioner's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies, someday he comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
It is time for our weekly look at Monopoly City, America's playground, the most fun city in New Jersey, and a strong candidate for most fun city in the Northeast, certainly the most interesting city in New Jersey. That is Atlantic City, the AC Report, and there's few people that know more about what's happening in Atlantic City than the great Chuck Darrow, veteran journalist, casino lifestyle specialist, and a writer with bettorsinsider.com. Chuck, it's great to talk with you again. How have you been?
Swinging, baby. Absolutely. And I'm still vertical, so I guess that's what makes it so good.
Well, then you're ahead of the game. Now,
great to talk to you.
It's great to talk with you, Chuck. A ton of stuff happening in Atlantic City. Let me first ask you about the, I would characterize it as the rather surprising resignation of the CEO of the Ocean. And this was, I found it pretty unexpected. But tell us what exactly happened here, and what are you hearing on the inside line about what's behind this?
Well, earlier this week, Terry Glubacki, who for the past couple of years has been CEO of Ocean Casino Resort, which, of course, was the revitalized, resurrected Revel casino hotel. She up and said, hey, I'm out of here. And I think it took pretty much everybody, certainly everybody who sort of looks in from the outside, by surprise. There has been no official reason given. Nobody seems to know quite exactly what the real story is, and it could be anything. She has been in the casino world in Atlantic City for decades. I mean, she goes way back to all the way back to Trump Plaza and the Trump Organization back in the 80s and 90s, or 90s anyway. And so it could be that she simply has it's time for her to, you know, she felt maybe she wants to spend more time with family. Or other personal reasons, but there is one theory.
That's never true, though, is it? Does anybody really ever resign for personal reasons?
Yeah, and actually, there was the CEO of what is now called Rivers in Philadelphia, but at the time was still being called Sugar House Casino on the Delaware River in downtown Philly. She unfortunately had some health issues and also had been a veteran of decades in the industry, but she, I believe, had some health issues and ultimately, figured that was more important than running a casino. So it's probably just business decision and not necessarily that someone jumped, but they were pushed. I mean, that's more often not in that realm. And at that level in the casino industry. But here's one, I think, plausible. I'm not going to say this is, and please, by no stretch do I know anything that's certain about this. But let me throw this out at you. But this week, there have been licensing hearings for the family, and I forgot to look it up, and it's the name escapes me at the moment, but it's the family that actually owns Little Caesar's Pizza. which also owns the Motor City Casino in Detroit. So, okay, so there had been several post-Revel owners, I'm going to keep this as brief as possible, of Ocean. And the current owner is Luxor, which is a hedge fund, New York-based hedge fund. And they are have been 100% owners of the casino for a couple of years now. And they are in the process of selling 50% of the company to the family that owns the Motor. So I believe they also own the Detroit Red Wings as well. This week they're having licensing hearings because, of course, you can't own a casino without passing muster by the state or from the state. So now, as an extra background, for many years, for the first, the first 15 or so years or 17 years, whatever it was, Borgata was a 50-50 partnership between Boyd Gaming and MGM Resorts. And ultimately, but Boyd Gaming was, even though they had an equal stake, Boyd Gaming, up until they sold their share to MGM, which now owns Borgata, 100% of Borgata, Boyd Gaming, equal partner, but the managing partner. So they actually ran the casino. So it's certainly plausible that this is in, she sort of sees the writing on the wall, because Luxor is a holding company. It is not a gaming company. That ultimately, once this sale is approved by the state, that the company that runs, whatever the actual entity that runs Motor City in Detroit, will become the managing partner because they have some real casino running experience.
And you think maybe they've indicated they want to bring in their own person here?
Well, because they have an infrastructure, and I have a feeling that there'll be some degree of duplication that will be eliminated, quite possibly right at the top. It's not unusual for one
Interesting.
Person to have, to run more than one casino. I mean, Harris has Caesars for years, rather, have had regional presidents. And I suspect that again, I'm not saying, I don't want anybody to think this is the case, but I personally will not be surprised if ultimately we find out that that this Detroit-based company will be the managing partner of Ocean.
Interesting. Now, she was also, Terry Glebacki, was also the head of some Atlantic City Casino Association, wasn't
right,
she?
Right. It's right. It's the, basically the trade organization that represents the Atlantic City casino industry. The lobbying arm essentially is what it is, a lobbying group. And
do we know who's going to take over in that role at this point?
No, but historically it has been a sitting CEO or GM, because each company has its own title. For instance, Bally's, I believe, the man, we can talk about that for a second too, whoever who is now running Bally's now that it's no longer owned by Caesars but by Bally's Corp out of Rhode Island, they have the title of GM. Other properties have the title of CEO, but we just don't, we have no idea we have no idea who is going to take over that position as the chairman of the casino.
And so in her time that she was there, she was one of four female casino heads, right?
Yeah, just within the past year or so, right. Borgata, Ocean, Bally's, and Tropicana all had women, which was unheard of, unprecedented in Atlantic City. Historically, overwhelmingly, the top people in the casinos have been male, but there have been other a number of other women through the decades, but never had there been four out of nine properties being led and run by women. So there's three, and also when Bally's, again, when Bally's changed ownership, the woman who was running the show there was replaced.
We're talking with Chuck Darrow. He's been covering casino and lifestyle issues for a long time, a lot of other issues as well. You can read him at bettorsinsider.com. That's B-E-T-T-O-R-S, insider.com. Chuck, she had a pretty good record at Ocean. A lot of people, her predecessors, both when it was Revel and even the Ocean, had a tough time making money. She sort of turned around that property, didn't she?
If this was, baseball, she probably would have been manager of the year the past couple of years. I mean, she just did a phenomenal job taking what was a true disaster. When Revel, of course, closed, and I think we've covered that in past shows. But she, I think last year at this point, or I forget the exact metric, but I think what it is that she turned, basically currently, the most recent, maybe it was the second quarter, they had a $25 million operating profit. And the year before, they had something like a $12 million deficit, something along those lines. So, yes. Now, a good part of that is, of course, the CEO always takes the blame, like a baseball or manager or football coach, gets the credit for the good times, but, of course, takes the hit for the bad times. But she also had they recruited a lot of Borgata people. Middle management and higher echelon types, especially in the realm of player development, which are the people who actually recruit and keep. Their job is to recruit and keep higher end players, the high rollers in the vernacular. And recently, over the past year or so, and there was actually a lawsuit tried to stop that. At one point.
No, I saw that, including because they were trying to take their Rolodexes with them and exactly, their contact
right.
information with them.
It's right. which is kind of specious in that business, because that's the name of the game. And that's as old as the industry itself.
Sure.
That, you're a host. The casino hosts are the ones who sort of are the boots on the ground when it comes to the high rollers and, making sure they have whatever they need and getting their tickets to the shows and, their comp dinners, whatever it is that they want. And hosts constantly get new jobs and take their customers with them. So, but MGM plays hardball. They're a behemoth in the gaming industry. And certainly they were unhappy because Ocean, given its physical property, and then you add that to the fact that you have all these people taking Borgata customers. I mean, that Ocean is they're gunning for Borgata. Borgata has been the gold standard pretty much since it opened in July of 2003. And now Ocean is really making a strong play for that. So, of course, MGM, which again now owns Borgata 100%, is going to try to stop that. But yeah, that's just the way the game's played. But she did, she's very savvy and probably most important of all, especially to the hedge fund that owns it. She was able to cut a lot of costs while still maintaining and even making the property better than it ever was, which is it's a pretty considerable feat.
Now, we are seeing a lot of action. Obviously, the summer's always big in Atlantic City, even when it was at a nadir. Now that summer's sort of has come to an end and we're in the middle of fall, have things slowed down in Atlantic City at all? Are we seeing...
It's relative. As you just said, of course, summer is really where the money is made. It's sort of like summer is the Black Friday of the Atlantic City casino realm. That's if you're not making coin, then the rest of the year is not going to be particularly bright for you. Generally speaking, it's not fair to compare October to July. I mean, that just is not a legitimate measuring stick. And of course, the way the industry does it is year to year by month. So if a casino is successful this year, it's because and the numbers I didn't see them, but they should be out any day now. Mm. Maybe even today, this morning, the September numbers. That's how you tell. But Atlantic City, and certainly, of course, last year there was virtually no business, so the numbers should be pretty good across the board. But the question is it doing better than than it did in the summer, but are people still coming and losing? And the answer probably, I think, we'll find overall will be yes. I mean, some casinos, as always, some casinos will be down, but some will still, you know, be better, have a better record than it did.
What's happening in Atlantic City this weekend? What are the highlights for anyone that's in the area or thinking about making a trip down there?
Well, I mean, I think for anyone who is a pop music fan of any stripe, the big show this weekend is Brian Wilson of, you know, the guiding genius of the Beach Boys, the Mozart of rock music, if you will. That's what he's been known for years. He is performing a program of his Beach Boys signatures at Hard Rock this weekend.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty special show. I'm not a real big Beach Boys fan, especially not as they're constructed these days. But to get, you know, I think anybody who has the ability to see Brian Wilson, and of course the guy is, you know, well into his 70s at this point, and actually I guess he's probably pushing 80. To see him, not only to see him in person, but to see him doing the music that he is so beloved and revered for, that's a no-brainer. And also he'll be joined by an original Beach Boy member, the only non-family member of the original band, and that's Al Jardine, and also a guy named Blondie Chaplin, Harry, not Harry Chapin. Blondie Chaplin, he has toured with the Beach Boys and performed with them for decades now. So I think that's a pretty special show. And, of course, the biggest crooner, of probably most popular sort of crooner of our time right now, is Michael Bublé. Mm. And he is at Boardwalk Hall. And I would certainly recommend seeing Michael Bublé. He's a wonderful entertainer. Unfortunately, I cannot give a wholehearted endorsement of Boardwalk Hall as a venue.
How come?
It acoustically, I mean, clearly, because it's almost 90-plus years old, 93, 92 years old, something like that. It was not built with acoustics in mind, and it is kind of an acoustic nightmare. It is one of my least favorite concert venues. I mean, I've seen some major shows, Springsteen, Barbra Streisand, Neil Diamond, The Police, but not a great place, especially for someone like Bublé, who's kind of a more intimate performer. But if you're a Bublé fan, go for it, because he always puts on a really good show. He's a great entertainer. And I don't know if, you know, what your beliefs are about the afterlife and so on, but there are those who do believe in mediums, although I wonder if in this case the word media applies as for plural. And Tyler Henry, who bills himself as the Hollywood medium, as opposed to me, the Atlantic City large.
I'm the Staten Island extra large. Don't feel bad, Chuck.
But he's at Borgata, and it's interesting. I'm not going to get into one way or the other, but whether it's a trick or whether it's legitimate, it is a pretty interesting phenomenon.
Have you seen this show, Tyler Henry, the Hollywood medium?
Not him. No, I've seen other mediums, but not his. I think I've probably seen him on TV, but apparently he's sort of the guy these days in that line of work, you know, that genre of or substrat of show business. So and it said, however he does it, whether it's just a trick, and there are skeptics who say, well, the questions that are asked are kind of general, and you can learn to sort of pick up the clues from the subject and the person you're talking to, and others, hey, believe it 100%. But it's apparently, because not his first time there, and he's been on TV, so I guess it's still a pretty entertaining program for those, you know, looking for certainly something different.
Absolutely. No shortage of activity this weekend. I'm going to be down there this weekend, Chuck. Hopefully, if you're around, our paths will cross.
Yes. I'm going to try to make that effort. And I certainly hope we can make that happen.
Well, that's phenomenal. Chuck Darrow, read him regularly in bettersinsider.com. Every Friday. What do we? Can you give us a preview of what you're going to be writing about this week?
Yes. Next week, the 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, Friday the 22nd, there is a group called Postmodern Jukebox coming to Borgata that is a really interesting concept, musical concept. They take contemporary songs as contemporary as Driver's License, which was a big hit over, you know, several months back by the 16-year-old TikTok or YouTube sensation, whose name again escapes me. 18 functioning brain cells, you know, at this point, this is what you get.
Hey, well, at 3:46 in the morning, you're doing okay.
Yeah, thank you. But anyway, and then they do like Sweet Child. They've done like Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. And for instance, they have done I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2 as a gospel tune. And essentially what they do is they take these more contemporary tunes and they render them in the style of Dixieland or 20s jazz gospel, you know, sort of Sinatra-esque or Tony Bennett saloon song. I think Sweet Child of Mine is the song they did. No, it's not Sweet Child of Mine, but, and you know, they do in this kind of a saloon song format with traditional instruments, not a lot of like synthesizers going on here. And that, so that'll be the subject of this week's column, this tomorrow, Friday. And also, just as a heads up, next weekend, next Saturday, I believe, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks on the 30th. Yeah, Saturday the 30th, a number of cast members of The Sopranos will be at Borgata answering questions, talking about the show.
Oh, and really?
So on Friday the 29th, if anyone wants to remember it, I will have an interview with Michael Imperioli, or as we know and love him, Christopher.
You know, I tell you, I listened to his Talking Sopranos podcast. Yes. It's terrific. It's really terrific.
If you're a fan, I mean, it's here's a little scoop for you guys out there in the radio land, that if you do listen, and he told me this the other day, that because the format of that podcast is episode by episode, and they're coming to the end of the run, so that podcast will be ending.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, they, I'm enjoying it. And it's one of those things, like the actual show, they shouldn't keep it on beyond its shelf life, I think.
And that's what he said. You know, he said it's there's nothing more they can do. And that was the premise, him and Steve Sciarippo, of course, played Bobby Bacala. That was the stated premise was we're going to do each episode of this podcast. We are going to, in chronological order, first to last, we'll talk about our memories of the show. And,
right. No, they give all sorts. They have all sorts of great insight and analysis. It's a lot of fun.
He's a real bright guy too. Imperioli, very articulate and clearly very intelligent and interesting. He's also I don't want to give away too much, but one of the things that we talked about was the resurrection of his rock band.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about that a little bit. I haven't heard them, but I'd be interested to know how they actually are.
They're sort of a post-punk band, kind of guitar-driven, a little noisy, the way he described the band. So, we'll see. But they're actually going to be playing in the New York, North Jersey area.
Hmm. Well, it would definitely. Maybe I'll invite Michael back on the radio to talk about that. Chuck, it is always a treat to talk with you, my friend. Hopefully, I'll see you this weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great, Ryan. And always, I'm just so flattered that you keep asking me back on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I really love hearing myself talk.
Hey, you and me both, my friend. All right, we'll talk soon.